Our text for this evening is from the book of Judges, chapter 3, verses 14 through 25. I'll read for you again these verses. He who had made for himself a sword with two edges, a cubit in length, and he bound it on his right thigh under his clothes. And he presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man, and when Ehud had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who carried the tribute, but he himself turned back at the idols near Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. And he commanded silence, and all his attendants went out from his presence. And Ehud came to him as he was sitting in his cool roof chamber, and Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. And he arose from his seat. And Ehud reached with his left hand, took the sword from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, what do you have to do this week? Now, I don't mean just what things do you have that you can do, but what do you absolutely have to get done? Life can seem like it's full of a whole lot of have-tos. But what is it we really must do? Well, one thing we have to do is obey the law. We have to do what is right. And it seems that we sometimes, however, that we really have to do what is wrong. For example, if I don't leave on time to get someplace, maybe to work, and I have to be there on time, well, I have to go over the speed limit. Or if I do something that makes somebody that I know is going to make somebody mad, well, I have to tell a little lie and cover it up. If I get addicted to something, I have to get it. Having things that I have to do, whether I like to do them or not, is what it means to be a slave. The Bible talks about us being slaves to God's law. We have to obey it. And when we don't keep God's law, and we think as a result, well, we have to do other things that are wrong, then the Bible says we are slaves to sin. In fact, the Bible says actually that everybody who sins is a slave to sin. The people of Israel, after they had entered the promised land, had things God told them they had to do. They had to obey and worship Him faithfully. And they had to stay away from, and in fact drive out, the others in the land who would lead them astray otherwise. But they didn't do what they had to do. And so they ended up being slaves to those other people. And then they had to make tribute payments. This happened over and over in the book of Judges. And when they finally repented and they cried out to God for help, God would send them a judge. Not the courtroom kind, but more like an old west sheriff who comes riding into town to save the day and then rides off into the sunset. The judge was a deliverer, a savior. One of the more well-known ones, for example, was Samson. He was strong enough to defeat the enemies all by himself. But his greatest victory, ironically, was after Samson himself did what was wrong, and he did that a lot, and he ended up being captured and enslaved himself. But when he was chained to one of the pillars in one of the temples of the pagans, he had enough strength left to push the pillars over, cause the whole thing to collapse in, and he not only killed himself, but he killed more of his enemies in his death than he had ever killed during his life. So he single-handedly saved his people, defeating the enemy by his own death, which is what makes Samson a picture of what Christ does for us, defeating our enemy by his death, single-handedly. Well, our text for tonight is about another less well-known judge. I've been picking shady characters from the Old Testament who in the shadows. This one also foreshadows our Savior Jesus. Ehud saves his people with a surprise weapon. Jesus acts single-handedly as our Savior, And the gospel is what saves us from slavery to the law. Let's think first about how Ehud saves his people with a surprise weapon. We read, "The Lord raised up for them a deliverer, Ehud, son of Gera the Benjaminite, a left-handed man. The people of Israel sent tribute by him to Eglon, king of Moab. And Ehud made for himself a sword with two edges, a cubit in length, bound it in his right thigh under his clothes. And Ehud reached with his left hand, took the sword from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the hilt also went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not pull the sword out of his belly, and the dung came out." I have to confess, maybe you can tell, Ehud is one of my favorite judges. What a story. Even though there are some other pretty grisly stories in the book of Judges. Now, the different judges were from different tribes. Ehud, we're told, was from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, that's noteworthy because the Benjaminite tribe tended to be left-handed, and Ehud was left-handed. And that was important here. Because in those days, like today, people were expected to have their weapons in their right hand. Now, that's the source of the custom. When you meet somebody, you reach out and you shake right hand. That was a way of demonstrating, see, no weapons. Now, in those days, people, if you're right-handed, you're going to carry your sword on your left side. Now, okay, you might have a gun in your holster on your right side, but a sword is longer. You need some room to pull it out, so you're going to carry it on your left side. So, when Ehud is checked for weapons, they check the usual spot, no weapon, and they don't find the one that's hidden over on his right side. So, it looks like Ehud is just coming with the tribute money. He's obediently doing what he has to do. But, he has a secret message from God for the king. The message is, God is delivering his people. And so he does it in a surprising way that seems backwards. And this is how Ehud foreshadows Jesus. Because Jesus acts single-handedly as our Savior. We, like the Israelites, don't do everything that we should do. We don't fear, love, or trust, or worship God faithfully. And we are not careful to avoid association with everything that would lead us astray. And so we also end up as slaves under the control of evil, feeling compelled to do things that are actually not good for us. Not as subject of an obese Moabite king, but as subject of the devil and his accusations and his temptations. The New Testament says we are under the law. And both that the law, everything that the law says we must perfectly do right, but also the law that says when we don't, we deserve punishment. So we owe tribute in a sense. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus has come to be one of us, and so to offer the tribute for us. But what was kept hidden during his birth and his ministry was the fact that he's also true God. So, he was able to single-handedly pay all the debt we owe, first obeying all the law for us, and then also dying for us, because his death was worth enough to pay for the sins of the whole world. Now, what would make sense, seemingly, to religious people of the world, and may have been expected by the despot, the devil, is that we follow Jesus then by learning from him how to keep the law ourselves perfectly. That's what the man in the gospel reading expected. And learning from him how to patiently endure suffering. Well, that system doesn't worry the devil at all because he knows good and well what he expects that others will fail to realize, is that there is no way that we can ever do enough or suffer enough to finish paying the tribute. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so, after paying in full for our sins by his suffering and death, Jesus turns around with a surprise message from God. It is the gospel of forgiveness for the imperfect. It's the gospel that saves us from slavery to law. Now, we're told that Ehud has a two-edged sword. That catches my attention because Paul says that God's word in the Bible is a two-edged sword. That is, it includes both law and gospel. On the one hand, God is just and righteous. And he gives us his law, which is true and right. And he does intend for us to obey it. And he does expect us to keep it fully. And if we do not, we do deserve punishment. That's what his law says. But God has another hand. And on the other hand, I should use my left hand, I suppose, God is gracious. He, as the judge of all, he has the power to declare us innocent. And he can free us from our sins by what he does for us. Now, when people are right or left-handed, what that means is simply that one is dominant. God's dominant hand is the one that holds the gospel. The gospel is his secret weapon, because the gospel sets us free from being slaves to sin and the law. Because God promises to take care of us by his grace, we don't have to keep on doing what we know is wrong in order to avoid the consequences of things we've done wrong before. We do obey God's law, but we don't have to do it as slaves. We do it not because we have to, but because we want to, because of his love. So, what is it you have to do? Well, you may still have many things that you need to get done, but the relief is knowing there's really only one thing that we have to do, and that is trust in Jesus and all that he has done for us. No matter what we ourselves do or don't get done, we have been set free by God's secret weapon. As Ehud saved his people with a surprise weapon, going to pay tribute but then turning around and doing the unexpected, so Jesus acts single-handedly as our Savior, who pays in our place and then totally defeats the devil by pulling out the gospel. The gospel saves us from slavery to law because God's grace is always dominant. And Jesus has kept the whole law for us so that we can be set free by his forgiveness. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.